Water lapped gently against the Coogan's twin hulls. Fish made occasional ripples on the glass-smooth surface. "They've probably realized I've gone by now. Mother will cry and Father will explode. Frank won't care and Paula will be sad. They'll all worry about how it will affect them and the animals, not having an extra hand at their beck and call all day long. Not one of them will think about what I want, what's good for me." She heard Gail Buchanan calling and made her way back to the wheelhouse. "We thought you'd fallen overboard, lovey," Gail said. A splash of light from the galley shone out, showing the sweat beading on her blubbery arms. At supper she had eaten more than half of all the food Marie had prepared for the three of them. "No, I was watching the moon come up." Gail gave her a lopsided wink. "Very romantic. Get you in the mood." Marie felt the hairs on the nape of her neck rising. She was cold despite the jungle's breath. "I got your night clothes ready," Gail said.
"Night clothes?"
"Very pretty. I did the lace work myself. Len likes his brides to have frills. You won't find better this side of Durringham," she said generously. "That T-shirt's nice and tight, but it hardly flatters your figure, now does it?"
"I paid you," Marie said in a frail voice, "all the way to Durringham."
"That won't cover our costs, lovey. We told you, it's expensive traveling this river. You have to work your passage."
"No."
There was nothing left of the bumptious nature left in the huge woman. "We can put you off, right here." Marie shook her head.
"I can't."
"Course you can, pretty girl like you." Gail wrapped a weighty hand around Marie's forearm. "Come on, lovey," she coaxed. "Old Lenny, he knows how to treat his brides right." Marie put one foot forward. "That's it, lovey, down you come. It's all laid out here, look." There was a white cotton negligee on the galley table. Gail led her over to it. "You just slip this on. Don't let us hear any more silly talk about can't." She held it up against Marie. "Oh, you're going to look a picture in this, aren't you?" She glanced down numbly at it.
"Aren't you?" Gail Buchanan repeated.
"Yes."
"Good girl. Now put it on."
"Where?"
"Here, lovey. Right here."
Marie turned her back to the gross woman and began to pull her T-shirt off over her head. Gail chortled thickly.
"You're a one, lovey, you really are. This is going to be a chuckle."
The negligee's hem barely came below Marie's buttocks, but if she tried to pull it down any further, her breasts would fall out of the top. She had felt cleaner when she was covered in dirt from the jungle. Still chortling and giving her little nudges in the back, Gail followed her into the cabin where Len was waiting, dressed in an amber toweling robe. A single electric lamp hanging on the ceiling cast a halo of yellow light. Len's mouth spit in a jagged smile as he took in the sight of her. Gail sank down onto a sturdy stool by the door, puffing in relief.
"There now, don't you worry about me, lovey. I only ever watch."
Marie thought perhaps with the sound of the lapping water and the close wooden walls she could pretend it was Carl and the Switherland again. She couldn't. The Lysilf had been traveling for over 5 billion years when it arrived at the galaxy which was home to the Confederation, although at that time it was the dinosaurs which were Earth's premier life form. Half of its existence had been spent traversing intergalactic space. It knew how to slip through the wormhole interstices. A creature of energy, the physical structure of the cosmos was no mystery to it. But its nature was to observe and record, so it sped along at a velocity just short of light speed, extending its perceptive field around the outcast hydrogen atoms on their eons-long fall from the bright, distant star halls. Each one was unique, an existence to be treasured, extending the knowledge base, its history placed in the transdimensional storage lattice which provided the Lysilf with its identity focus. The Lysilf was the section of space through which it passed with less disturbance than a neutrino. Like a quantum black hole, it had almost no physical size, yet within was an entire universe, a carefully patterned universe of pure data. After it arrived at the Rimstars, it